Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Green Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Green Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth.
Kia ora, I'm Liz Gunn. Biophilic design is design which incorporates nature into architecture. Kiwi artist, designer, homeopath, and lover and medicine man of New Zealand bush, Rob van der Touw, creates glass splashbacks with extraordinary biophilic resonance. That means nature from New Zealand's plants is incorporated into our homes, behind our ovens, where we see every morning the beauty of some of our trees or plants. And you can look below this interview in the write-up at some of the pictures that he creates. They also become artworks, but we'll talk about that later. So this beautiful energy of nature can be incorporated into our homes and also into offices for not only their sheer beauty, but also for their healing qualities, their healing resonance, healing from our plants of Aotearoa New Zealand. Plants which Rob has studied for years with the same dedication and intellect and exactitude and healer's energy and, I have to say, aroha and love, which he brings to all he does. Kia ora, Rob.
Kia ora, Liz. What more can I say? You just summed it up very nicely.
Oh, good. You can go home then.
Thank you for being here.
A privilege for me to interview you, and I have to declare my long-standing friendship with you. I saw you first when I was about 29. You were a homeopath in Auckland in that time. And I would go so far as to say that you saved me. You really saved my life. I had some depression that I was dealing with, and you helped me with a very unusual homeopathic remedy, which was called Aurum. And the symptoms of that depression lifted almost immediately. So we'll talk about homeopathy as part of the very rich panoply of skills that you bring to the world. But I owe you a great debt of gratitude to that, because you do it to me as a master craftsman of the art of homeopathy. Tell us what homeopathy is before we get to the splashbacks and the art. Tell me what your training did for you in Holland.
I was always passionate about, I always believed in being of service. And I always believed that whatever talent or gift you have, to use that as a body of service. And I was yoga teacher at the time in Holland, and I read my first homeopathic materia medica. I remembered very clearly which remedy I read. And I was very impressed by how homeopathy looked at a medicine from a holistic point of view, incorporating every aspect of the human being. And as most listeners know as well, we're not just a physical body. And when we have a problem, it often manifests because we have a certain issue we need to address. So in homeopathy, the medicines not only target the body, but they also can help with the original cause, which is often an issue that is unresolved. And with that, I can also say that could be also seen as a kind of a shortcoming, because it's a little bit, how much does the person you treat want to work on themselves? Because at the end of the day, no matter, I take with gratitude your compliment, but at the end of the day, we can only heal ourselves. And homeopathy can assist wonderful in that process, because we need something often from outside, because we're in it, you know. We're in our issue, and we can't see the daylight when we are caught in the issue and when we have physical discomfort because of it. So it's great when we have a medium like homeopathy that could help me to look into the discomfort of a person and understand more about the complexity, where it actually originated from. And with my insight that I get when I talk to a person, you actually feel an immediate response from the client. It is like when you meet somebody that understands you, something happens, right? And you put on top of that the medicines, you got a great medium to help people to a better state of health.
What a beautiful
addressing
description.
The deep issue, you know, not just the symptoms.
Beautiful. So that holistic idea, because I remember a Chinese man saying, you know, your Western medicine is very good for acute conditions, like a car accident, a broken leg, something that needs healing. Yeah. But for long-term chronic issues of health, emotional and physical, often we need to go into these deeper layers, don't we, Rob?
Yeah.
We can't just remove the symptoms. We need to get the system back in balance. And it seems to me that's how homeopathy works in the long term.
Yeah, it can absolutely do wonderful things. Like in the beginning, I took I don't do that anymore, but I taught in the different colleges in New Zealand. So I videoed a lot of my cases so students could see that after the remedy, the changes that occurred, not only with the symptoms, but also changes. The person looked different. They paid more attention to how they look. They look better. They smile. There was a different kind of feel to them as well. And that is vital. That is very important in homeopathy, that you see a change on a deep level. You know, how a person feel in energy.
Well, when I first came to you, there were a lot of doubters among my friends, and even my direct family were going, oh, that's all rubbish, it's not proven by science.
Well, it's still
and
like
I came
that
to you and I said, how does this work? And you gave me the most adept, the most acute summary of it. You said, I can't tell you exactly, I know it works, but this is my sense of it. When I get the right remedy for somebody and it hits that person's energy field, because we are all energy fields in the end.
Mm.
The two energy fields of the remedy and the person's energy seem to work together, and the person's own immune system, own emotional and physical immune system seems to respond.
Yeah, that's why the homeopathy means similar. So we work with a medicine, often out of nature, out of plant kingdom, mineral kingdom. We use lots of resources, but homeopathy is based on the law of similars. That means that we actually find an energy that resonates with the person and with the disharmony they experience. So it happens through the law of similars, through resonation that a person improves. That's right. And by studying those medicines, because they have such depth, you learn a lot about human psychology as well. You learn to understand the process of illness. There is sometimes diseases start on the skin, and then they move to a deeper organ. Then they can even move to emotional levels or mental levels. And in homeopathy, that is all addressed. You can ascertain whether a client makes progress by following these principles, these laws, from worse health to better health and vice versa, shifting often between physical, emotional, and mental.
So you have
it's a complex science, and it is intense study too. And the real experience will teach you how to use homeopathy. Yeah, you know, all the books. It is when you really come in touch with people's lives, when you through your own experience of life, that you come to an understanding of the people that you can actually prescribe better and more successfully.
And this is the same thing you're doing with medicines from the New Zealand bush, which we will get to, this beautiful marriage of knowledge and intuition,
well,
which you bring to your homeopathy.
Yeah, so I came here in 1990, and to this beautiful country. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, coming from Holland. And I felt straight away at home. And when I went to the bush in New Zealand, I couldn't believe my eyes. That is always, nature has always been, from a small child, I used to wander off in the forest. And here was a forest that was almost like in a state where it was before human beings were there. So a kind of a purity about it. And the first thought I had when I saw it is, wow, why? I bring all these medicines from overseas.
These homeopathic medicines.
These homeopathic medicines. And yet we have this in our doorstep. You know, we have this amazing forest. And so I became really passionate about trying to find out what these plants are about, what these trees are about. And in homeopathy, we have methods that we can do that. We can actually have scientific research methods where we can experience the plant and get an idea of what it can be used for. So I had all the ingredients to actually investigate, do more research. There was Māori Rongoā, of which I have great respect, and out of respect, I also didn't touch that because I felt that's a cultural beautiful cultural expression, and I just start anew with my and hopefully add some another dimension to that. You know, very humbly, if I can gift something to that, it'd be great.
And I would say here, you always work with and honour the Māori traditions, the taonga that Māori are in this country.
When I wanted to do this, right, I didn't start till I went to Mare Island, to Hua. And there I had a four-hour-long experience of what Māori called the wairua. And I, for 4 hours, I was out of control. I couldn't control it, and it was an immense experience for me. I felt like hundreds of thousands of souls were moving in and out of my heart center. I was experiencing their coming and going, their feelings. I can't really describe it.
Can you paint the picture a little bit more of it? This is an intensely personal experience, but can you tell us, what were you doing, meditating? What happened?
No, I meditated before. I did yoga, meditation, but never had I such a profound experience. And what actually the nitty-gritty of that experience was, I experienced in that river of souls where I disappeared, was a beautiful feeling. And I experienced a feeling of belonging, a sense of belonging. And that became my passion to help not only my clients with homeopathic remedies, but to help young, old people have, again, a sense of belonging. Because it's vital for us in our growth, and it's vital for feeling our connectedness with the Earth, because we're doing terrible things to the Mother Earth. We're walking around as if we're totally not part of nature, if we're not part of this universe, doing our own thing. And it's so important that we go back to our source and do whatever we do in life from that source, which is our connection to the Earth, to the universe. And whatever we do it from there, so we don't experience disconnection. And I know, as in my background in homeopathy, that's the biggest thing you can do for your health. This is where it all starts. All, in my view, all disease, all discomfort we experience is because we don't feel connected.
That's so beautiful. When you think dis-ease is actually dis-ease, not being at ease ourselves.
No, I don't see it as a negative thing at all. It's part of our process. Disease will always be there as long as we have a physical body, and it's a perfect tool to help us to better health.
But it's also there as long as we are not at ease within ourselves.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah. You once said that. Online it says in your write-up, homeopathy gave me meaning in life, being of service to others, earning a living, of course, and supporting my philosophy of life. What would you say that philosophy of life is, Rob?
My philosophy of life?
Mm.
Wow, I've come a long way since. That is a big statement. How would I feel, it goes back for myself, to a sense of feeling connected and living within the oneness. That is simply my philosophy, living in the oneness of that is here. Being one with your experience, this community, this oneness with other human beings, but also with the plants, with the earth, with everything around you. That is simply put my philosophy. That is what I strive to achieve for myself, and what gives me great satisfaction, and what gives me good energy, and it helps me on all levels, with people. It allows me to experience the essence, which I believe is aroha, is love.
Yes.
That sense of connectedness, the key, the glue that holds everything together is love, you know.
And, of course, your pathway is through nature. It is always with plants, and homeopathy was with plants. But this sense on Mare Island, just give me a greater sense of that. Could other Kiwis possibly experience what you experienced there, do you think? Or is that only the chosen few who are accepted in that
way?
No,
I don't see myself as being, I feel humbly accept that as a gift. It was a powerful gift. And it did give me the feeling that I was on some kind of a mission.
And that you were accepted by the tupuna, the ancestors.
Yeah,
they were saying
it,
you are meant to be in this country.
Yeah, then I felt, because the overwhelming feeling after that, the next day, whenever I looked at a plant or a tree, it was, you might find it a bit strange, but I experienced it as totally sacred. I experienced that.
That's not strange.
I experienced that when I look at a tree or a plant, it was like a universe in itself. And if I got to know that universe, I would know everything. Everything is contained in the one cell, philosophically speaking. But then I experienced it in nature, that every tree, every plant I saw was so sacred. It took me a couple of years to get to terms there. It was over the top. I was driving on the road, And how I felt the earth was so sacred and everything around me. And I started changing my view. I started not to learn from the books anymore. I started to listen. I started sitting with trees. I started sitting with the plants and listen to the story they would tell me. And that came in many different ways initially.
Share that so that others of us can do it. How does that
we can
look
all
wrong?
Do it, because that's what I do now with people. I take them into the forest.
Yes.
And I don't teach them anything. I just give them some techniques. I hold the space of knowing that we have that connectedness. And they do everything themselves. And I haven't had one on my courses that I do with native plants that could not connect on a deep level with a plant or with nature. And kiwis are natural in that. And they love it. They take to it like ducks to water.
Yes. Yeah. I should declare again my own interest here, because I came up to you in the Hokianga yesterday and did my first day. You do it once a month, these courses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was extraordinary. And I had this connection with the Rimu tree, but everybody had a different tree that they were drawn to, and there were different qualities of those trees. But Rob, it was just extraordinary, and it was me doing it with your help.
Yeah, well, it was the satisfaction I got. No, you did it all yourself, and everybody was doing it themselves, and it was just so satisfying for me to see everybody in their own space with nature, and the looks they had on their faces, and the whole energy that changed by just listening to that plant they chose as their, you know, it was a simple exercise of finding your special friend in nature.
So for someone who's going, oh, this sounds ridiculous, I've never thought of this, of plants as almost like people or entities. Take someone into that, how they could access that.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is if you want to know what chocolate is like, you got to taste it.
Yes.
That's the only way to experience it. If you have any doubt about it, then, okay, challenge yourself and do it. The proof is in the pudding. You got to do it. I can't explain it. I can't prove it. Only people can prove it to themselves that they can do it.
And for people who are ready, who are feeling sick of the concrete jungle and disconnected in the traffic and want something more, try it.
Try it, because you will find you have an ally. You will get an unforgettable ally that can connect you to your creativity. I've taken people onto my course. One particular lady did a course, and she's now a well-known artist in Holland. And she felt she needed to do the course. She came to see me. She said, it's important I do your course. She did it, and it just unlocked this creative potential she had. Because we are that. We are nature, you know. All our cellular structure has genetically the memory of all the plants, all the trees. When we actually go into nature, the interesting thing is we actually not go outside ourselves, we go in ourselves. And when we connect to a plant, it's not an external thing. We recognize an aspect of ourselves with the plant. And it's so important because the plants have energy. We have energy. When we connect with a plant in a respectful manner or with nature in a respectful manner, it fills us up and we get a lot of good energy. But we give the mana, we give the energy back to the plant and nature as well by our respect. We're very powerful. So, you know, nature, the plants start to glow, they start to radiate. So it's a reciprocal relationship. It's, you know, whatever we give to nature returns to us. If tomorrow everybody in New Zealand started pulling out this respect and love for the nature that we've got here, and we've got a treasure here that some people don't realize, you know, the nature is absolutely magnificent, so diverse. We've got species here that are nowhere on the globe. If they did that tomorrow all together, the effect would be tremendous on our whole society.
Wow, what? In what ways, Rob?
Well, imagine that plants start to radiate their special gift qualities out. You know, like, yeah, it's a bit like when we go into the forest, I see getting to know a plant is a bit like getting to know a friend. If you treat Mother Nature as a friend, yeah, this is very simple and this is how it works. Okay, if you treat Mother Nature or a plant as your friend, what does a friend do?
Respond with love.
And tells you its secrets.
Yes.
Right? So there's a sharing, and you get to know that friend like never before, and suddenly you feel like, wow, there's a lot more to this person than I ever know, because you opened the door. Nature is the same. So initially what we do on the first day, I let people select their special friend, their ally that will help them with all their issues in life, And they love it. They go into the forest and something will call out to them and they spend time with it. And I get their special techniques too. But basically, I let them find their own technique. I let everybody find their own voice. I let everybody find their own confidence that they can do that without my help. You know what I mean? It's not a relationship dependable, how you say that? A codependent relationship I try to create with me as the teacher, the
authority figure.
The authority about native plants. Because the secret is that I spend a lot of time with each plant for years. I've done that. Each plant I spend hours with to get to know it. And some plants I got to know because I feel they resonate with me. Other plants I did not get to know at all. I would go back the next day. I didn't get any rapport. I didn't get anything. And then I realized that in my course, if there is somebody that chooses that plant that I can't connect to as their special friend, my ears go open. Because from that person, I will know about that plant. Because that plant, because they chose it as their special friend, will tell them their secrets. So I learn from everybody that goes with me in the forest. And the group energy, it goes tenfold. You do it on your own. It's never the same as when you go and you give each other permission to step into that magical dimension which nature offers, and much more than the physical dimension, right? It's our own inner dimension. When you give each other permission to step into that world, magic just happens.
Always surrounded by respect and open-mindedness.
Absolutely.
And of course, Rob, children do this effortlessly, and our ancestors would have done this before we moved to cities and disconnected ourselves. Yeah. This is what our ancestors did.
And this is what connects us all. And this can also bridge a lot of the between Maori, between Pākehā, that our common ancestry is nature, is planet Earth, is the universe. We are all part of this universe. And we're not all the same. We're all different, and each culture is different. We got to honor and respect that. So we're not trying to take anything away.
Yes.
You know, everything has a gift in nature. Everything has a quality that adds to the whole. Every culture has a gift that adds to the whole. They're feathers of one big wing. That's how I see it.
And equally, every tree has a gift that adds to the whole.
Yeah. And when I experienced that on Mare Island, the Wairua, I wasn't grown up in New Zealand. I came from Holland. But I immediately felt this kind of an unconditional aroha for Maori.
Yes.
And I've never had a negative experience with Maori. I had beautiful experience with Maori. They have shown me a side of myself that I felt I lost. And that I still brings tears into my eyes, the way they connect to their tupuna, to their ancestry.
Yes.
I have lost that. I came here. I don't even have a strong connection to my family. I experienced that sense of belonging on that island with all these souls coming in and out of me. So when I go to, you know, the way Maori welcome, I learned Taiha. I became, and I was the only, and I was treated with so much respect. I was the only guy that was learning Taiha, and I got so much respect from Maori. They were so accepted. And then in the middle of the night, they would have different people coming in, and they would recite back and forward. And I was asleep, and first I thought, oh, God, I really want to sleep. But I couldn't help listening, and then a while the chills would go over my spine. And they were reciting, the whole ancestors, they were welcoming everybody. So not only the person, but all that we are.
All the people who've come before, the generations who've come before.
How beautiful is that? Just that, you know. That gives you you're much bigger than your ego. You're much bigger than you carry that for everybody that, you know, that goes before you.
There's something else in there.
There's a path ahead of us, but there's also a path behind us of people that went before us that carry a torch as well, back to the source, in the same way as we're moving forward. So we have to take that torch. That's what it felt like. We have to take that torch and carry it forward on behalf of everybody else. And then we got everybody else behind us, and life becomes a lot easier.
And it's also a reminder we are here only for a short time. We're not here to amass a whole lot of stuff and cars and houses. We're here to serve in some way, to serve the world.
With the Wairua, when I experienced that, I didn't matter. I personally didn't matter.
Healthiest of ways.
In the healthiest of way, because I felt like I was in this river of it was all together, and I didn't, want to matter anymore. I wanted to be part of that.
Part of service.
So imagine if you can carry that all the time, you go everywhere. Life becomes a breeze.
For someone who doesn't know that word, Rob, what is Wairua? What is your definition of Wairua?
I think the term is best left to Maori to explain, first of all. A lot of Maori words have a beautiful meaning, deep meaning, that I love to hear from Maori. But to me, I think somebody said where two rivers meet, you could say that this may be the river of our dimension here and the river of the multi-dimensions that connect us to our ancestors. Wairua. To me, it's the river of life. It's the tree of life. It's the river of life. Hoofje onder in Dutch. That means we pull our head underwater, you know. Somebody pulls our head underwater to have a feeling what this river of life is like.
It's a beautiful word. That and manaakitanga are probably my two favourite te reo words. Mm. They're just such beautiful words. But actually, let's divert for a moment. What do you see of this whole debate about te reo in all our schools? You have been so enriched, you just said, by Māori. What do you think about us all learning te reo?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What will it do, Rob? What's in your view?
It will help to, on a scientific level, it will help us to align our left and right brain, because Maori culture is far more right brain.
Imaginative and connected with nature.
Yeah, and spiritual. Maori, by definition, their culture is a spiritual culture. And it can help us moving back to our own connection to that.
Beautiful.
And we need that. We need that.
The language is a doorway to
And when connect. We honour that in Maori, they also feel, in my view, less protective, because they don't give anything that we take. No, it's something they can give to us and we can embrace together.
And we honour it. Pākehā honour it.
Beautiful. Absolutely, yeah.
I love that. Thank you for that. Yeah. So let's go back to your journey. Yes, you said nature responds to us in a positive manner when we respectfully ask her to show us her medicines. Yeah. So let's go to the medicinal side of your journey with the New Zealand Bush, Rob. What have you found in terms of medicinal support?
It was an incredible journey. It still is. I had truly magical experiences. In homeopathy, we have a method that I used in the beginning when I had not so much faith I had a skeptical mind of the homeopath. You know, wants to prove that, there's other ways of healing. Anyway, so we have in homeopathy, we have proving. That means you take a medicine without knowing what it is. And then you write down how you feel and your dreams. And there's also a group that get the medicine with placebo. So anyway.
So you can study on a group basis the difference that medicine makes.
So, and I was in a prime position because I was teaching in the different colleges. I had I set up the homeopathic program for Polytechnic in Hamilton, and I had a wonderful group there of many students. I had 25 students in one class, and to be fair with you, only one of them wanted to become a homeopath. They were all there because they had to do something. They were kind of. I still had them at the end of the year because we had a ball. We would try these medicines. I would give them these homeopathic medicines.
Bush medicines.
And in homeopathy, we can make medicine of plants. We can also make medicines of animal products. And then we...
Just take me into that. What does that look like, an animal product? What might it be?
It can be a feather. It can be, when you find an animal, you could use a bit of the blood, something physical. And from that, you can make medicine for the rest of the world, you know, forever.
Wow.
Because it's energetic. Once you have that blueprint, you can reproduce it. So I didn't hurt any animal. But I did find animals.
Yes.
When I was on this journey, when I had amazing experiences with New Zealand wood pigeon, with the owl, truly, you know, it felt like it was guided from, like that feeling of Wairua I had on the island. Something was spurring this on, and it was a privilege to do this.
Could you tell me a story of the pigeon? Because I'm going to post some pictures of your photography of pigeons.
Well, the reason for my design and my art is that I found that all these plants and animals have beautiful gifts. And I love designs. And Mother Nature is the best designer.
Yes.
Right. So I just go with my camera to spot close up the different patterns in plants, in feathers, to capture that special gift. And that's knowledge I gained over many, many years. So now I can bring those energies I feel through my art, through splashback. Well, my art can be produced on anything, on canvas, splashback, anything. I bring that into the home, and energetically it can have an effect, whether people are aware of that or not. You can create with the knowledge of the plants, dynamic atmosphere, with you can create a peaceful atmosphere because you bring that gift. I believe you can bring the gift is also in the design of the plant.
So having it hanging on the wall becomes a sort of feng shui, a kind of energy
that's
within the house
that's
that can be healing.
Yeah, having said that, a lot of people will just choose what they like, which is always what they
need.
Yeah.
What they need. So you have a series even with fish scales. So you have your fish, your water sort of fish range. You have your wood pigeon range and native tree range of pictures, and they can be pictures or splashbacks, as you say.
Yeah.
But it's the essence of that energy that comes into the house when it's a picture on the wall.
Essentially, it comes all back to my experience of belonging, wanting to bring that sense of belonging to others through the medicines, homeopathy, but also through the art, through the designs. And New Zealand nature is my passion. I just adore it.
So let's go into that example of the pigeon. Tell me your connection with the wood pigeon and then what you found, the qualities of the wood pigeon.
Well, it's interesting that since we did that research, the wood pigeon is used by Europe, homeopathic practitioners now, for their clients worldwide.
And that's from your research?
That's from the research, yeah.
How wonderful. So what are the qualities? What was your story of connection with the wood pigeon, Rob?
I gave it to many students. And I gave it also on a workshop we had from home with about 12 people. They all took wood pigeon. They don't know what it is, you know. They didn't know what it was.
And it's in the form of drops.
It's pure energy, you know. Yeah. And they sat for lunch. And while they were having lunch, a wood pigeon came and landed in the middle of us having lunch on the ground, right, sitting in front of us.
They stay in the trees.
They don't usually come and sit in front of you. They stay in the air. It might have been drunk, but nevertheless, you know, it was still, while they didn't know they had taken the wood, I knew. So I was looking and I thought, my God. And I had experiences like that many times with the owls coming when we took the medicine. It was incredible.
If the wood pigeon could sense these people are aligned with me now. There's something energetic about
them. Yeah, I think maybe the explanation, it is kind of magical when you see it happening, but maybe there is a more understandable explanation for that maybe when we take the remedy we take on the energy of the wood pigeon. So maybe you thought it was pretty comfortable to sit between these 12 wood pigeons having their lunch.
Beautiful.
So energetically they are attracted, I feel, to. And the same with owl. When we took owl medicine, we had owl in broad daylight. I had owls coming to the whare, to where we were doing the proving.
Wow.
And one flew over my head with the wings touching my forehead just after taking it. So the chills went up and down my spine. But I thought about it later, and I thought, oh, maybe those owls felt there were other owls maybe in the territory. Or maybe it was like, oh, you guys are doing a great thing. We like to get to know people that we have this special gift. So, you know, and that was kind of what I like to think. I felt gratitude, you know, for those experiences.
The same sense that you spoke about earlier of you're honoring them and they want to honor you back.
Excellent.
However, actually, I love it. There was another quote of yours I picked up. I feel like Harry Potter without the need for a wand.
Yeah, you don't need a wand when you go into nature.
The magic of nature.
It's right there. We don't need.
And for those skeptics listening, shaking their heads, going, "This doesn't make sense." Sit with it. Allow this to permeate, and to think, what if I am missing out living in the city on some of the magic that nature offers? We can accept it with Harry Potter in a film. Why don't we just play with the idea? There's a lot more magic in nature than we may be aware of.
And it makes our life more fulfilling and happier in the city, because when you walk in the city, some places are beautiful in the city, a beautiful place to live. You know, they created beautiful neighborhoods. It's full of trees, full of nature. So if you have that connection, you feel, you know, perhaps a lot
happier.
Calmer, and not so, you have allies to deal with the stress of the city. And you know, it offers a lot of good things.
So you multiply that many times when you go into the bush and you sit with these possibilities. I remember when I reconnected with you, one of the things you said was, we could deal with New Zealand's youth suicide problem with nature, getting these youngsters more connected with
nature.
That's
my passion, and I do that now with music. You know, I create music with that same feeling, from that same feeling of knowing nature. I try to put it into music, put words to it, try to get musicians together to create a platform together where we can bring that nature feeling into the kids, maybe create a play. I've written a play With a wood pigeon, with a tui, about a boy in the forest that is trying to find his talent and the animals help him. What if we dress these kids up like wood pigeons and tuis and they find their gift in the forest? They get that sense of connection. We teach that play to the secondary school so they can teach it to the primary school. So everybody gets it, the parents, and the kids will be happier for it.
Beautiful.
Suicide is feeling disconnected. It's a very lonely place.
It is.
So if we have that sense of connection with nature, with everything around us, then we're less liable for mental disease, for psychological problems.
So somebody out there who might like to fund Rob's beautiful vision with his play and his music, where can they contact you? I'm going to put a plug in right here in the middle of the interview. Yeah,
well,
What's a good contact?
Well, Facebooking, I like that medium.
Yes.
And probably if you could contact me through Facebook.
Robert van der Touw.
Yeah.
So, and I'll spell the email as well, VanderTouw, Robert@gmail.com.
That will definitely
van der Touw, Robert@gmail.com. But we'll do this at the end, and we'll also put it in the write up about the interview.
Yeah,
but that beautiful idea of that play and your music also, for people who want to connect with your music.
It would be a beautiful, if somebody felt they wanted to support that financially, it would also give them the opportunity to create something really that could be of magnitude to create a change.
Absolutely, and this could go through all the schools as well eventually and be something
The impact would go out in all different areas. I have no doubt of that.
If someone wants to look up your music, they can look it up on YouTube?
Yeah, I put a lot on YouTube, but I put my ideas there, the vision of the music. So I have my guitar, my all the different acoustic instruments. I played music all my life.
And you play all the instruments?
I played all the instruments and the keyboards. I had a keyboard that had to function as an orchestra sometimes, so forgive me that awful drum beat of the keyboard. So you have to look through that. But the songs are all there about the tui, the four winds. I have the privilege of my Maori connections up north that have translated my songs into Maori, the four winds song. That gives a whole different dimension to the songs.
So a quick reference for YouTube. People may want to go and look this up straight afterwards.
Yeah, just look on my name, Robert, and then van der Touw. So it's
good.
Four words.
Rob,
and they're quite, all lined up.
You're quite intimidating to interview because I realize there are vast tracts of you that we could go into as sidelines. They're not even the main line, which is this bush medicine. There are so many beautiful layers to you in terms of what you're contributing, but
what it has gifted me.
Yeah.
And I feel very humble about it, really. To me, it's a feeling, I feel it's a privilege if that happens and whatever I can do, but I also know things come and go. You know, we can't take possession of it, we can't be possessive about what we have been given. It's our privilege to do what the best we can and then let go.
And that ties in with your idea you said earlier that it unlocked an artist in one of the groups. So nature can make us a channel of ideas. And you are a very rich source of ideas. But would you say it's nature that's unlocked that in you?
About our relationship and our passion for and our intent. That does it. I couldn't make a drawing when I was a kid. I was a useless artist in school.
How extraordinary, and now you produce this.
I won't tell you what I was drawing. It was nothing R16 or R18, but it was definitely not art. It was, and now it blossomed into, but again, I found my medium.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that are artists out there, and they think, I'm not an artist, but they haven't found a medium yet.
Yes, and nature can help unlock.
Yeah, because that's the relationship we have, and that can make people blossom, that can connect them to the source where it all comes from.
What about health-wise? What have you found the New Zealand bush medicines and essences have unlocked in people health-wise who you've dealt with?
Many people are using now the remedies that we created. I told you about the wood pigeon. Actually, the gift of the wood pigeon I'll share with you was it would heal issues or illness related to broken trust.
Beautiful.
And particularly betrayal. Interesting when you look at a wood pigeon being a very trusting bird. So you can imagine what gift that is.
Beautiful.
I mean, how many people suffer grief from feeling betrayed, from broken hearts? And I haven't even talked about the kauri and all the other great giants, that offer these beautiful medicines.
Could we talk about some of those? What have you found with the kauri, our beautiful kauri tonga?
There's something happening at the moment with the kauri that is very prominent. And
This is the Kauri Dutch.
Yeah, we have a big meeting on the 21st of March up in Pukati Forest with a lot of people that feel very strongly about it. And I actually intend...
So tell us, who can
well, first
go
of all,
to that? All people? All Kiwis, if they want to?
Michael Fleck is organizing that. Perhaps I would welcome any person too. I thought it really, really good for us as a group to connect with meditation or with our intent to find out what is ailing our Kauris. The medicine of the Kauri is fantastic. It's for very deep grief. Kauri is an amazing tree, and we are all connected. So it could well be we're so disconnected. And all these disconnected people go into the forest and they don't give anything back. The forest just soaks up the stress and they haven't... perhaps it would help if we, every time we go to the forest, we say thank you.
Beautiful.
Just that to the Kauri. Thank you for your magnificence. And a lot of people do feel that with the Kauri, because how can you pass a Kauri without not feeling a sense of awe? I mean, there's a being there that's 2,000 years old. There was, some of these are 2,000 years old, that was there, when we were still in before Middle Ages.
So really, Rob, to go in with that conscious thought, thank you to this New Zealand bush for being there, for my being able to walk in you.
I think that's the biggest thing we can do for the Kauri, is to acknowledge nature as part of us, to give mana and respect to each plant, not only the Kauri, but everywhere. Because one thing we've learned from the Kauri, when we made medicine of an old Kauri tree, respectfully, we found that the people who took it got the medicine of the Kauri, but also what happened around the Kauri. So the tree absorbs what happens around it. Mother Earth, the plants, nature absorbs us, what we're doing, in its memory.
So what did that group prove? What did they feel when they were proving that medicine? What were some of the dreams they had?
Well, if violence happened around a tree, they could pick that up in their dreams.
So the tree could have a cellular memory.
Absolutely.
In its various
cells. Held in the tree,
in its atoms.
So we could reverse that. We could make good things happening and make that part of the Kauri. Yeah, I have a deep sense that the best thing we can do for the Kauri that is easy, without almost effortless, and it will help us, is respect.
Beautiful. Yes. Tell us some qualities of other trees. The Pohutukawa. I was heartbroken when a developer cut down 4 Pohutukawa, and he's been given a 3-month sentence, and to me, that was absolutely justified. It's such a magnificent tree. What are the qualities of the Pohutukawa?
Well, Pohutukawa stands in between the water and the sea. It can grow on nothing. It splits rocks. It's a profound essence to help people through major changes in life.
Because it's so resilient.
It's extremely resilient, amazing tree, and it produces these incredible flowers around Christmas time.
So it has a connection with a sort of Christ energy.
Maybe it is a remedy that helps people to be of service.
But it grows in these dry soils.
Sustains them, strengthens them on their path, on their journey.
What about the rimu? I love the rimu.
Yeah, well, you had a connection with the rimu. Mm. And I'd like to let you... I'd like to leave that with you.
Yes, that was my tree.
Because that was your
yesterday.
Experience. And not fill in the space.
Just to give people a sense of
other
trees.
Yeah. Okay, rimu, one common thing was that it strengthens the nerve system, that it's a very good remedy for stress.
Mm. The puriri? What about
puriri
the
has a beautiful nurturing quality. You know how many of us live in poverty conscious?
Yes.
Can live in an idea that we don't have enough?
Yes.
The puriri is a great remedy to assist us with issues relating back to poverty issues, like we feel we don't have enough. Because puriri is a mother. It's a mother energy that nurtures the birds.
So very generous.
Very generous. And we found it in the provings too. It is a very nurturing energy, very feminine.
And the provings, it's people feeling connected with, I feel more nurtured, I feel happier.
These students that I worked with, I mean, just this journey is a great tool to have for young people in schools, these provings, because they get to taste it and experience it, come back and share with each other the experience of something they don't know what it was. And then we put all their stories on the board and you see the theme. And they go like, wow. Like, another story I share with you was the owl. Yeah, we made a, I found an owl, made a remedy, very respectfully. I love the owl. I have great, anyway. And I gave it to the students, and they said, well, Rob, this, I hope this remedy is not going to affect his exam, whatever you gave it. I said, no, no, it won't. And I was hoping that was the case. You know, not much can happen because it's diluted. And when they came back, they all said, what did you give us? We studied like never before. We absorbed information like never before. We had all good results. Every time we have an examination, we want to have that remedy. There was a remedy from the owl. It was a cracker.
That's good. And the owl is wise.
And well, it is used in libraries, so it kind of sounds a bit, or, you know, a bit
isn't
out
that
of it. But,
gorgeous?
You know, when you see that and all the kids go, like, wow, there's a lot more to Mother Nature than we understand. And we're only now discovering that a lot of the problems we have are solved by the way nature deals with things.
Yes.
And they're coming more and more. So our connection to nature is vital for our own preservation.
Rob, let's talk about other plants then. What about the harikiki, the beautiful New Zealand flax?
I feel passionate about flax in my art. I think there's many sides to flax. I think we need to do a lot more research on flax. I think it's a master medicine. It's a great a medicine with a huge variety of uses. We use flax oil. If you look at the plant flax and even the what it means to Maori culture, and I sort of get a sense of that when I work in my art with flax. I love it. It's so versatile. It's beautiful. I use sunlight coming through the leaves, through the patterns, and flax is my favorite.
Really? We'll put some pictures of your artwork with flax.
And it's so New Zealand. And, you know, and I love the Maori concept of flax being unity, being part of family, of holding things together.
Yeah. And so what is it proven in the groups? What's come out in the groups where you've taken the flax as a remedy?
One of the things that came out, that flax is good for fertility.
Very interesting. Why do you think that, Rob?
It just came out of the research, good for fertility.
Because it's so abundant, again, isn't it? And so it's a very giving plant to me. When we've had this heartbreak over our filthy rivers with this intense, awful big milk industry we've developed that's really harmed our land and our rivers, to my way of thinking.
Right, yeah.
Okay, we may be making some money, but at what cost? That's an aside.
Yeah,
but these rivers get compromised. We could clean them up with the long grasses and the flax planted in all our New Zealand rivers. They really do filter, don't they?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And I love the side of flax. There's so many different varieties. Some people don't take to flax.
I love it in your splashbacks and in your art. It's a beautiful one.
Yeah.
What about some of the lesser known trees? Perhaps some of the trees.
Well, let's talk about something else really unusual that is a nice story. That's the little blue penguin.
Ah,
shall we do that?
Let's go to two animals. Okay,
that's Korora. That's a fairy penguin. When I was on Mare Island, I had the privilege to see them, and I felt very touched by them. You know, the first little blue penguin I saw a big wave. That's all I saw. A big wave splashed onto the beach. We drew into the sea and left this old man standing on the beach. It was a little penguin. It looked like an old man that had been on a very long journey, and some of them don't survive it either. And I found a penguin.
I did.
A dead
I did
penguin. One. And I respectfully, you know, asked for a bit of the feathers and a little bit of the blood to make the medicine. And I gave that to, I made a medicine, little blue penguin, and gave it to my students in Polytechnic without telling them what it was. And I know that was very profound because they were all sitting there, and I said, well, close your eyes after taking it and see what you feel. And I looked around the room, they're all sitting there, but one of the people, he's a great homeopath now. He sat there with his eyes closed, and he was rocking back and forward like a penguin. I thought, that's interesting, because I often found that if I did these little research tests, that one or two people would really be like a kaitiaki or a messenger for that energy. Anyhow, he was rocking back and forth, so I thought it'd be interesting what he had to say. So everybody said a story, which was all interesting, but when I came to him, I thought, oh, no, let's really listen. And he came with his story that he said, well, I closed my eyes, and I was sitting on the Earth, the globe, in the universe. He was sitting on Mother Earth. And all the planets and stars were passing him kites in speed. Everything was moving. The whole galaxy was moving. And he said, within that movement of everything moving, I found total stillness. And then the chills went up and down my spine.
Wow.
And I thought, that's Corora. That's the penguin. The penguin can give people in its medicine the stillness when the ocean of life overwhelms them. And ever since we've been using penguin, not only for seasickness, funny enough, you know.
Wow.
So the penguin gives the gifts of finding your center, your stillness, your groundedness amidst chaos, amidst turbulence. We have used it for animals, for horses on horse floats, for horses that went on competitions, for people in pain. It helps with pain management. I would say that it is one of the most powerful medicines I experience, the Corora, the little blue penguin.
Rob, it would be extraordinary in hospices as people are preparing to leave the earth.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love that story.
Yeah, so an amazing little being.
And it also demonstrates the power of this, and you don't have to keep taking, plundering penguins for this medicine. If honouring, I would like to, all the way through this interview, you said, I take it with respect. Those are thoughts of respect. You say, look, little dead bird, would you be okay if I use some of your blood and a little bit of your... It's all in our thoughts that we create these respects, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, and I had that beautiful gift that I've experienced of Wairu. That gave me that sense of sacredness of things.
Yes.
And with that feeling, nature responds to that tenfold. I had other experiences with animals when I had that feeling. It's now less. I had hawks sitting on my hand in the car that I thought were injured. They were not. But because I had that connection...
That manakitanga, that respect, deep
yeah,
respect.
Yeah, I would just thought they were injured, sitting on my hand, looking at me, and then I put them outside the car, and they would fly away, and I realized I have been sitting 20 minutes in a car with a hawk, holding it in my hand, standing up, looking at me. That was perfectly well. But it had a message, you know, it had something to say. It's that relationship. As soon as you realize that everything is like the words you say, that sense of respect... You have a relationship with everything.
And because you were
nature responds.
You weren't in that car in fear, so it didn't fear.
No,
so
but I wouldn't do it again now. No, I wouldn't, because I don't have that kind of... The power of that feeling is not so strong at the moment. Another sense that that was very interesting after I had that experience, it would come back sometimes when people talked from their heart.
Explain that.
You know, that sense of sacredness, that sense of connectedness. If somebody came really from their heart, was doing something from their heart, from their love, it would almost trigger that feeling again.
Ah, beautiful.
So it gives you a kind of discernment if people come really from a good place or... So in a way, people that are really working with their heart are coming from their heart, doing things from their heart. On some level, without them knowing it maybe, they are connected to that Wairu. They are connected to all the hearts in the universe. Stand by them. That's what I believe.
And in this strange world, if each one of us can live from that place, if that is our own goal, we can change our own place to live from our hearts. That is being the change we want to see in the world.
And I feel if there is one plant or being in the nature that helps us with it, is the kauri.
The kauri, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
What about the kawakawa? Because the leaf is heart-shaped.
I haven't done much work at all with kawakawa. Mm. I know it's so well used and known in Maori culture.
Yes.
I recommend you talk to a tohunga or somebody who works with kawakawa experience of that. I haven't done much.
An Australian healer, Ben, came to stay with me in New Zealand, and he saw that kawakawa leaf, and he said, this should be in everybody's water, in our water bottles.
Right.
He said, the energy from this is absolutely extraordinary.
It is. I totally believe that. And you know, when on the outside we can see what it is used for. One of the techniques we use in getting to know the gift qualities of plants is that what is on the outside, its signature, shows us something of what it is on the inside. And the kawakawa, of course, the well-known thing, it has the shape of a heart. And to me, when I look at kawakawa leaf myself, you know, what I sort of picked up from it, the best leaves are the ones with the big holes.
Isn't that because the insects like them so much? So
yeah, they go. But on some level, I think maybe this is a good remedy for people who give a lot from their heart. You know, the givers, the people that work from their heart, that sacrifice a lot, get heart illness.
Yes.
I would have a feeling kawakawa would be beautiful medicine for those people honor, to give back to themselves. That's my feeling with kawakawa. Not only the physical things, but spiritually kawakawa helps us to nurture ourselves, to give back to ourselves what we give to others and what we sometimes forget.
I would so love, Rob, one day to film a whole series of you in the bush with your students, filming this magic, because you're still learning. You're teaching them learning.
Yeah.
This will keep opening and keep evolving, won't it?
Absolutely. And if we did this together, we build up a beautiful storehouse of medicines and a sense of connectedness that will help our society, our economy, everything. That helps us just better as a human being.
And we honor our...
Change start here, you know, with you. If you want to change the world, you can vote. That's great. But really change start creating an own world, a good world for yourself. That's where it all starts.
And honor our mother, our Papatūānuku.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. So, Rob, long term, you could run courses in schools and teach our children
unlimited.
These connections. It is unlimited what you do.
And
what is your vision long term? What would you love if you had a perfect New Zealand with funding and people who are willing to think outside the square?
Just embrace what you've got here. I feel the most precious thing that New Zealand has. Everybody wants to live here.
And those are nice things, but what would you do? What would your contribution be? Would you like to start courses that could be taught around New Zealand schools?
Yeah, I would love to do that. I always enjoyed the teaching that I did. It's one thing that comes naturally to me. I loved it. I had a great rapport with the students. Even the ones that didn't want to learn, they sent me back letters of appreciation afterwards, and they took those experiences into their lives for the rest of their life.
That
is so precious when you can give that to somebody, even one person, then that's very satisfying. So I've been finding ways to do what I feel passionate about, to also to sustain myself, because we all have to live. And so I've looked at many different ways. I've done many things. I've done workshops. I've taught. I do my art, I do music, and it all came from what I'd learned from my relationship with nature.
And for someone who's felt really inspired listening to you today, they can contact you,
and
do your bush course.
They can do my bush course, they can email me, they can contact me on Facebook. They might not be Facebookers, but I must say, through Facebook, you can send anything. You can send any information, you can send videos. So I find it actually we have some great tools to communicate.
Robert van der Taal, and we will put the details in the write-up underneath. Right. Rob, it's been just a joy to talk to you. And anybody who's unwell and wants medicine from New Zealand bush to support them, or even homeopathy, contact you as well.
I can either take that or refer that. And thank you so much to Green Planet and the great work, Tim, and yourself. It's great to meet like-minded souls.
Beautiful to talk,
thank
Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And or Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say kia kaha and haere ura.